Paul, you have a carbon conversion project with the Climate Change and Emissions Management Corporation's Grand Challenge. Could you give me an outline of what the project is?
Sure. So we have a novel process that's made possible through a catalyst that we developed and a reactor system that's able to take in carbon dioxide and combine it with ethylene and able to produce ethylene oxide and carbon monoxide, which are both valuable intermediates in the petrochemical industry.
So what's special about that?
So the conventional process for creating ethylene oxide takes ethylene and combines it with an oxygen that's separated from air, and we're able to do it through our catalyst using an oxygen separated from the carbon dioxide.
Now, is this something that makes the process cheaper or more expensive or easier or harder to do?
So the process looks a little different, but the techno-economics actually work out to be quite similar and possibly more attractive with some further catalyst development in should we be able to participate in round two of the Grand Challenge. And so the new process that we're developing could act as a replacement for the current conventional technologies and could be potentially financially attractive to current ethylene oxide producers in Alberta to switch to our technology.
And what exactly is the ethylene oxide used for?
So ethylene oxide is used for production of other chemicals downstream, mainly ethylene glycol, which is one of the main components of antifreeze, and then it's also used for other downstream products. And in addition, we also produce carbon monoxide, which it goes into the production of methanol or acetic acid, vinyl acetate, ethylene vinyl acetate. So there's many products that come from both ethylene oxide and carbon monoxide, which are both produced in this process as you remove an oxygen from the carbon dioxide to give it to ethylene to make ethylene oxide.
So it sounds like they're pretty important building blocks for the chemical petrochemical industry.
Oh, they're definitely large building blocks and intermediates in the petrochemical industry. Ethylene oxide can go on to produce polyurethanes, polyoils, glycols, nitriles, alcoholamines, and ethers. So there's lots of different products that can be produced from these.
Now, where would you get your CO2 from, the carbon dioxide?
So we've currently modeled our CO2 as coming from a CO2 trunk line that runs through Alberta and currently runs down to North Dakota and is used for enhanced oil recovery. So we would ultimately, in essence, we would get the CO2 from other processes which separate it out after their process is done and capture the CO2 and transport it through a pipeline.
Do you have to use the pipeline, or is there something that you can put into individual facilities that will help with this separation process?
That's a good point. It does not have to rely on CO2 from pipelines, and it could be integrated with other processes to take CO2 that might be captured from them and be able to be integrated into the ethylene to ethylene oxide process.
So how hard is that? Is it kind of an add-on piece of equipment or what?
Well, the commercial implementation of our technology would be roughly a 250 kiloton ethylene oxide production plant. So it would be a sizable chemical plant, which would not necessarily be too easily just added on to an existing process and would likely be undertaken by a major chemical company who has an interest in producing ethylene oxide.
Now, is this something that could be used around the world?
It definitely has application all around the world, but it's particularly favorable climate in Alberta given the carbon tax policy and also the petrochemical industry that's very well established there.
With the amount of CO2 that we're concerned about due to greenhouse gas emissions and all of our concern over climate change, what benefit do you see that this process, if it's implemented, what impact is that going to have on reducing our emissions?
So we completed a life cycle analysis to determine how much greenhouse gases could be reduced through the implementation of this process, as opposed to conventional processes for ethylene oxide production. And we found that for every ton of ethylene oxide you produce, you reduce CO2 emissions by 4.7 tons. So a 250 kiloton ethylene oxide production plant would reduce CO2 emissions by more than 1.1 megatons per year.
Now, when you look at the economic impacts, what do you see those being down the line? Because you did mention that it could be something that helps reduce costs, so having efficiencies there. But is there anything that relates to perhaps jobs created, those sorts of things?
Sure. So I think there's definitely jobs that would be related to construction of a new plant and also permanent jobs that would be estimated at roughly 30 direct jobs to operate such a plant and as many as 189 indirect jobs that would be associated with such a facility on a permanent basis indirectly.
So where did the idea for this come from?
So one of our chemists here at RTI came up with the idea, and when you look at the potential for CO2 utilization, there are not too many markets that have a large enough market demand that you would be able to have a large CO2 impact. And ethylene oxide is one of those that is quite large. It's the fourth largest produced organic chemical globally, and he saw the potential for adding efficiency to the process by using CO2 as the to provide the oxygen for going from ethylene to ethylene oxide, and came up with the catalyst that we use, which is a novel catalyst to be able to complete the process.
What stage are you at now? You're talking about commercialization at some point in the future. Where are you on that scale?
So we're participating in the Grand Challenge and about to apply for round two of the Grand Challenge, and see ourselves as on the track of the Grand Challenge to have a pre-commercial demonstration completed by the end of round three and ready for commercial implementation at that point. And currently we've concluded catalyst screening and bench scale testing, and we're ready to increase the scale to a small pilot scale facility to investigate further catalyst development or optimization that may be required at a larger scale.
Have you had any problems or challenges to overcome?
Finding a catalyst that's able to remove an oxygen from CO2 and then also able to transfer that oxygen to ethylene to create ethylene oxide is a challenging task, is one of the reasons that, you know, this is not already done. And so we spend a lot of time looking for just the right catalyst makeup that is able to achieve those two things and do it at a low enough temperature that it's relevant to being able to make ethylene oxide, which is done at a lower temperature than most processes that are able to remove an oxygen from CO2.
You mentioned that you're going to be applying for the round two of the Grand Challenge. What has it meant to your group to actually have this sort of funding?
Oh, it's been tremendous to have this funding, and the Grand Challenge process has really enabled us to take this technology, which was just an idea, into something that's on track to hopefully being commercialized in the next few years. So this Grand Challenge process has been really transformative for our technology.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Thank you.